Well, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we're getting ready for revival. We've got revival starting October the 23rd, I believe it is, through the 26th. It'll be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And Brother Ronnie Tullis will be preaching for us. Brother Tom McCone is going to lead music. And Brother Tom is the music worship pastor. I don't know what his official title is, but at First Baptist Greenwood, does a great job. He's a talented guy, but he's also a very sweet, loving man. And I just think he's going to be a blessing. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be neat for our, because we've done the music for our revivals mostly and for quite some time. And so it'll be nice that our folks can kind of enjoy and listen and take part. But, you know, as we get ready for revival, you can't just schedule revival and God show up. You can't just put some dates on a calendar and invite a speaker and Brother Ronnie bring God in his suitcase and just open him up and let him go in here. It don't work like that. We have to prepare our hearts. We have to get ready so that God can speak to us and minister to us. And so, in some ways, that's what we're supposed to be doing all the time anyway. You know, but this is especially, and I'll be honest with you, revival times are a test in some ways. And they're a hard time in some ways. Because there may be a message that you don't particularly like. There might be a message you don't particularly enjoy, even though it might be one you particularly need. So prepare your heart now. You know, soften your heart. Draw near to the Lord. Seek Him. You know, that was one of the reasons I wanted to sing that song. Oh Lord, You're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. Well, honestly, for a lot of Christians, I think that's the one thing they're not seeking. For a lot of people, they're asking God to bless their finances and their health and help them with their job and help them with their family and meet this need and that need and bless their friends and their people with physical needs and all these things that are going on. And that's all good, you know, and it's not wrong. But first and foremost, we need to be seeking the Lord. And so I want to encourage you to keep that in your heart and be thinking about that apart from His blessing. Okay? And I'm not preaching about Job tonight, but if you were Job and God took away your livestock and God took away your means of income and God took away your children, God took everything from you except your wife, who tells you to go ahead and curse God and die and just get it over with. I mean, what would be your response in that situation? Would you be content to continue to seek the face of God and say, yet though He slay me, yet will I praise Him and obey Him and honor Him? Well, I mean, you know, it's a question I don't think any of us can fully answer because we really haven't been placed in that situation. But I want to encourage you, we need to seek the Lord totally apart from how He blesses us. That is not to be the thing that you know, we're focused on is the blessing. We need to be focused on Him. He is precious. He is beautiful. And so tonight we're going to be looking in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And in our story as it's developed, we have seen in chapter 4 how that the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God's presence, was taken in battle when the children of Israel tried to use it like a lucky rabbit's foot. They said, oh, if we take the Ark out here, We're bound to win this battle. God's going to help us. And the Philistines were afraid when they saw it, but they said, hey, let's fight. And they did, and they captured the ark and killed thousands of Israelites. And but once the ark was taken to the Philistines, we saw also how that didn't work out so well for them. And God sent pestilence and plague on them, and they were severely affected. And they started sending it. The first place sent it to the next town and said, hey, we don't want this thing here. Get it out of here. This is killing us. And the next town, they took it and made it started killing them. And they sent it to the next place. And the next place said, we don't want it. We already heard about all this. And they sent it back to Israel. And now the Ark of the Covenant is back in Israel. And you know, on the face of it, you think, well, great. Isn't that good? The presence of God back among His people. That's what it's supposed to be, right? You know, sometimes, even though the presence of God is among us, we're not seeking Him. We're not focused on Him. And it's easy. I'll grant you that. It's easy in this day and this time. It's easy to focus on everything but God. Because the world has a way of delivering all this stuff to you. I mean, you know, one of the things we're doing at the fair is in our booth is we have a big screen TV set up and we're showing Billy Graham videos and stuff, but we're going to give away this TV and some other prizes, and it's a way to get people's attention and get them to sign up and give us information and whatnot. But you know, I've had people tell me, say, oh, you know, say, hey, we got a good giveaway here. If you know, give away this nice TV, and it is, it's a nice 50-inch, you know. Oh, I don't need one. I've already got, you know. I mean, people already have everything they need, pretty much. I mean, there's some people that, boy, they're excited about it. But really, in our culture, people are pretty well content with what they have. And they don't even realize there is a spiritual need a lot of times. And that's the danger for us, is we can go through our lives, even as believers, without realizing and without understanding that we need God's presence every single day, every moment, everything in our lives. We need His presence and His help, because without it, we're going to miss the most important things. And we can make a big deal out of a lot of things in life, you know. And there's a lot of good things. We can make a big deal about the fishing trip. Man, that's fun. It's a beautiful place. Just gorgeous. So much beauty. Occasionally I catch a fish. That's pretty fun too. Every great once in a while. We can make a big deal out of fishing trip, but you know what? It's not about fishing. It's not about camping out or the experience. It's about the souls that God brings to us and lives that are touched through it, our own and others. You know, we can talk about ball games and fairs and showdios and, you know, all the stuff that we do in life, football, and we can talk about all the things that are going on. And they're good activities, they're good things. But you know what? It's not about all that. It's about the souls of men and women and young people and boys and girls. Because that's the thing that's going to last forever. And when we get caught up and tied up by other things, well, we're missing the point. So, amen. Well, let's get to our message here by that long-winded introduction. All right, so 20 years now have gone by, or as we go through this story. All right, chapter 7, verse 1. If you're able, would you stand with me and honor the reading of God's holy word? And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts through your word, we pray. Lord, help us to seek your face tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's 20 years gone by here. It's amazing how that 20 years goes by in a blink of an eye. Some of you don't believe me, but some of you know all too well that, boy, time flies when you're having fun and when you're not. And as you get older, someone told me the other day, he said, you know, I used to hear people say, as you get older, time goes faster. And I didn't believe them. But they said, now I believe them. And, it may not go any faster, but it sure seems to go faster. And so 20 years go by. And meanwhile, what it tells us is that at the end of that 20 years, that all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The whole house of Israel began to seek the Lord. They began to realize there was an emptiness. There was something missing. There was something that was not right in their heart and in their life. And they needed God. They needed the Lord in their life. Well, here's the thing. When we see this, these are the people of God. You would have thought that the presence of God, I mean, they had the Ark of the Covenant back. Was that not enough? Well, no, it really wasn't. It was the place that God met with them, but they weren't worshiping Him. They weren't serving Him. They weren't seeking Him. And so they were missing out on the blessings that God could have been giving them all this time. You say, well, what was happening? Well, the Philistines were there. You know, the Philistines were strong. And they pretty much controlled the coastal areas. They controlled the flatlands. And the Israelites were up in the hills. They were up in the foothills of Judea and all up in through there. And they were struggling because the Philistines would come and take their weaponry, keep them from being able to fight. They would come and take their crops if they wanted. And so it's hard. But here's the thing. Just because we are the people of God today, that does not mean that God is actively at work among us. Now, I believe He is. I believe He is at work among us. But it is not something that's just guaranteed. Well, just because we're believers, just because we're Christians, folks, we need to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. For the Lord will have abundant mercy and pardon. So we need to come to this place as well, that we begin to lament for the Lord. You know, what are we seeing in our country today? Well, we're seeing racial issues. We're seeing problems with people. And it's, you know, the police against the blacks, against this, against that, against... And we've got all these problems, and we've got rioting and looting and burning and killing. And folks, there's no perfect people in this whole argument. There's no one who's purely right or wrong. Everybody involved in it is a sinner. And everybody involved in it needs Jesus. But folks, I'm going to tell you, the power of God and the presence of God is able to solve these problems. God is able to do away with this mess that we have today. I mean, it's a significant issue. You can't watch a football game now without being reminded of all this. You know, players protesting and whatnot. Well, look, what we need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we have that, and when people are walking in the presence of God, then they're going to treat people lovingly and with honor and with respect, whether they're black or white or anything else. None of that matters, because in Christ we're all one. I spoke to this Laotian man on Friday at the fair. His name is Thut. And so pray for Thut if you think of Thut. I had to have him spell it because I couldn't quite follow. It's T-H-U-T. Anyway, but Thut is lost. But he told me, he said, I've been thinking about church. I've been thinking about it. I need to get in church. And he had his wife there and his little boy, about 2 years old, cute little guy. And, we got to talking. He had long hair. He's all tatted up and whatnot. And, you know, he'd been in their country probably for 30 years, and he had good English. But we were talking, and I was able to say, well, you know, we have a Laotian couple in our church. And that was interesting to him. You know, that was something that, you know, it touched him, because he thought, wow, well, these people are not against me, you know. And pray for this man that he will turn to the Lord, and we're going to follow up with him. We got information, and we're going to hand that over to some of the churches there in Fort Smith and ask them to try to follow up and help this man. I shared the gospel with him, and he wasn't ready to pray and receive Christ, but pray for him. It's just amazing, though, what happens when Christian people just be Christians. You know, when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ just is the church, you know, just doing what we ought to be doing. And I'm really concerned that while we have millions, I mean, we got 16 million Southern Baptists on the rolls in our nation. Well, number one, I know that that's bogus, because we've got 400 and something on our rolls. When was the last time we had 400 people here? Well, number one, we couldn't see them if they came. We couldn't. I know there's folks that claim the name of Christ. I met one lady one time and asked her where she went to church, and she said, "Oh, I go to First Baptist Church Branch. I'm a member down there." I said, "Oh, really? Well, that's interesting, because I'm the pastor and I've never seen you before." Well, I didn't say it quite like that. I might have wanted to, but I didn't. But it's fun. And when you meet people who say, "Oh, I go to so-and-so church." "Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Who's the pastor over there?" Or if you want to really be sneaky, you can say, "Oh, is Brother George still pastoring over there?" "Yeah, oh yeah, you know, yeah, yeah." Okay, don't be sneaky. I mean, just as a general principle as a Christian. But sometimes it is tempting. All right. These people began finally to seek the Lord, though. They were missing out. Folks, we're missing out. What are we missing out on? What is it that we're missing that God could be doing in my life today? God could be doing in my family today? What is it that God could be doing in our church today? And we're missing it. Why? Because we're not setting our face on seeking Him, on focusing on Him, and loving Him with all our hearts. Well, I want to encourage you. God has so much more for us than what we have yet found and experienced. So here's what happens. Verse 3, Samuel provides some leadership. This is great. And he says to them, if "you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts," if you really are wanting to do this thing, here's your first step. You're going to have to put away your idols. You're going to have to put away your idols. I saw Chris put on his Facebook or Twitter or something today. He had put on there, parents really get upset. They're horrified when they find out their kids are smoking weed. But then they don't care when they miss church to go play sports or something. Well, man, that's where we're at today. And look, if we're going to return to the Lord with all of our hearts, if we're going to seek Him with all of our hearts, we're going to have to put away the false gods. We're going to have to put Him number one. You know, that doesn't mean that we can't have fun, we can't do activities, and we can't, you know, it doesn't mean that. It just means that in everything we do, we put Jesus Christ first. You know, I think there's this thing that we have sometimes that, well, we go to church on Sunday, but then we pretty much have control over the rest of the time. You know, our work and our family and our free time and play time and fun time and pleasure and you know, whatever else. Well, that's our time. And folks, I want to just suggest to you, the greatest way you can order your life for the maximum enjoyment, the maximum pleasure, and the maximum fun is to put Jesus at the center of everything you do. And it won't rob you of anything. It won't steal your joy. It won't take away your fun. If anything, it will add a whole nother dimension that you couldn't imagine. I mean, we go fishing up here on the White River, and of course, up until last year, we camped in a primitive camping area. There's no facilities. Okay, we don't have a bathroom. Yeah, I need to translate that for some of you. Primitive means nothing. No, I mean, the only running water is out there in the river. If you want some, go get it. And so, you know, and we adapted and we made our own facilities. We, you know, it was all mostly pretty good, except when you wanted to take a bath in the river and people would be coming by or something. Anyway, But don't ask Brother Wayne about that because, well, anyway, you know, that's all well and good, and it's a fun thing to do, even if you know, if you were just out there doing that. But I'm going to tell you, when you're out there and you're out there with Christian brothers, and your conversations are not full of the junk of the world and the profanity and the cursing and the foolish talk. I mean, there's some foolish talk, I will admit that. But everything revolves around Christ. And we'll sit around the campfire at night and talk about the Lord. Maybe somebody will do a Bible study. We'll sing. I mean, it's a sweet time. But God adds so much to your marriage or to your relationships or to your activities, your sports, or your academics, or whatever it is you're focusing on and you're doing. God brings a whole other dimension into your life when you seek Him. And I want to encourage you to seek Him. Set your heart. Look at what Samuel says. He says, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Man, God's got some good stuff for you. He's got some good stuff for you. And as a nation, do we not need His presence? Do we not need Him today? Oh my goodness. I mean, when you see the kinds of things that we're seeing today, children being abused, the foster care system just out of control, it is heartbreaking. Well, at some point we've got to wake up. Remember what the prodigal son said when he was out there? You know, he partied away all of his money. He spent all of his money. And all of his friends deserted him after he didn't have any more money. And he found a job. Remember what he was working at? What he was doing? He was slopping hogs. He was feeding the hogs. You ever slopped hogs? Boy, that's a nasty, gross-looking bucket of stuff you take out there. And those hogs love it. And they're just rooting down in it and just, I mean, they love it. Well, all right, so here's what happened. And when he came to himself, Luke 15:17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. When he came to himself, when he finally woke up, when he finally came to his senses, because that's literally what it means. He came to his senses and he said, my goodness, the hired hands in my father's farm have it better than I have it. I could go back there. I can just say, Father, I just want you to hire me on like a hired hand. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. I have sinned against you, but just take me back and I'll be better off. But he came to his senses. Folks, that's what we need today. We need people to come to their senses. We need people to wake up and understand where we are and what's happening. In Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7, it says, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, says, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And, well, you know, when you begin to put away the false things, when you begin to clean house a little bit, and folks, we all need to do that from time to time. We all need to look at our schedule and figure out, okay, I don't have time to read my Bible, supposedly. Where can I find 10 minutes to spend reading my Bible every day? You know, the last time I checked, we all have 24 hours in a day, every single one of us. Nobody has more. Nobody has less. I think we have time. It's just when you begin to investigate and look at how many hours you spend watching TV, or you spend on the internet, or you spend texting, or you spend doing whatever. And we need to back up and say, wait a second, I've got my priorities out of order. I need to put God first. I need to bring God into this. Well, put away the false gods. Maybe you need to go through your entertainment and pick out the stuff that really isn't suitable anyway. It's not appropriate. It's not right. It's not good. It's not uplifting. Clean house. You need to get rid of some stuff that's holding you back, that's hindering you in your walk. And so, verse 4, the children of Israel put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. And so Samuel then said, all right, now we're ready for the next step. He said, you put your false gods away. Now, he said, we're going to gather together, and I'm going to pray for you. So they gathered together, verse 6, in Mizpah, and they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. Now, I don't think we fully understand that or grasp the significance of that. Because, frankly, water is something that we turn the tap on and we have all we want, as much as we want. I mean, we have to pay a little something for it, but it's really not that much for, you know, what we get. So we have water, you know. If you have a swimming pool at your house, then, you know, you can fill up your swimming pool and have 5,000 or 6,000 gallons of water out there in that pool. No big deal. But you know, in Israel, it's a little bit different. When we were over there, when we were up on Masada, which is down in the southern part, and it is drier and it's more arid and more desert-like, but we were down in the area, and we saw there were some little antelope-type critters running around, you know, and we saw some of those in different places, Engadai and a few different places, but our guide up on the top of Masada, he told us, he said, you know, the animals around here mostly live from the water in the plants. And he took one of the little green plants on the ground there, just a little plant, and he crushed it against the rock. And it was amazing how much moisture was in it. I mean, we take for granted water. They drew water, and then they poured it out before the Lord, because water was rare and water was precious. And it was something that was significant for them to say, God, you are worthy of the best that we have. Well, they poured out this water and they fasted on that day. And folks, when you start to seek the Lord and you fast, you're serious. I mean, we pride ourselves as Baptists on eating, right? I mean, that's kind of every church does. But we love to eat, and it's a good thing. It's one of the gifts God's given us, and we enjoy it. But when you push away from the table and say, no thanks, I'm going to spend the day praying. I'm going to spend the day fasting and praying. I'm going to tell you, there is a power there. There is something there that God will work through, because He knows you mean business. And He's ready to hear when you mean business with Him. And there's some of us who are looking at issues or problems or things we're facing. And I want to encourage you, here's one of the tools in your tool chest as a Christian. It is fasting and praying. And there's times when it is absolutely appropriate and it's needed. And the only thing about it is you want to be absolutely prepared before you go into it. You don't want to just say, well, I kind of missed supper tonight. I'll just fast. I'll just pray and fast. I mean, you can try that. Let me know how it works out, because it didn't work out for me. I have to prepare my heart, my mind. I have to get, you know, ready for this, because it's a challenge. But every time that stomach rumbles and grumbles, growls and complains, you remember, why am I doing this? Well, I'm praying. I'm praying for them. And when you do fast and pray, make sure you have spelled out, okay, this is what I'm really praying about. These are the things I'm really focused on. And I mean have it, you know, two or three things, whatever it is, but have it absolutely, and that's what I'm focused on. And that way, every time you're drawn back to pray for those things, and you know, you're gonna have an impact on those issues, on your world. So that's a great thing. The people of Israel were serious, and they fasted, and they said, "We have sinned against the Lord." You know, they didn't beat around the bush. They didn't try to make themselves sound better than they were. They just said, "We have sinned against God, and we need to come back. We need to turn back from it." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. He was the last of the judges. And so, now here's the problem. The problem comes that the Philistines heard, "Oh, the Israelites are having a big get together. They're plotting, they're planning, they're doing something. We better go up there and, you know, take them down a notch." So here come the Philistines, all the leaders, and they've got their armies, and they're coming up against the children of Israel. Now the people of Israel were afraid. Verse 8, the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And so Samuel interceded. Samuel took a lamb and offered it as a burnt offering, a sacrifice to the Lord. And he cried unto the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. Isn't that good? God heard him. Oh, listen. How we need today for people to cry unto the Lord for our nation, for our situation today. We have enemies. We have enemies. And we need to turn to the Lord and cry out to Him, seek Him. Well, so long story short here, the Lord answered. And here's how He answered. And it's always interesting how He answers. Sometimes He just gave them victory in battle. This day, it says, verse 10, "The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel." And the Israelites just took in and began to chase them and to kill them, to defeat them. And so the Philistines were beaten badly on that day. And you know what? From this point forward, they still had issues with the Philistines. David fought against the Philistines and others. But from this point forward, the Philistines never again had this much power over Israel. I mean, God did a significant thing that day. But that's what we get when we begin to seek the Lord with all of our heart. Is we see God beginning to move and work, open doors. We see God beginning to help us and protect us. So, this is great. They won this battle in verse 12. Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And it literally means stone of help. Stone of help. How many of you have sung that line? "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come." What's the song? Somebody tell me what the song is. "Praise the mountain fixed upon it." All right, somebody will think of it here in a minute. I can't think of the title. "Come Thou Fount." Amen. Amen. "Come Thou Fount." All right. So "here I raise mine Ebenezer." Well, if you don't know your Bible, you're going to be wondering, who is Ebenezer? And why are we singing about raising up Ebenezer? What's that mean? Well, no, it's talking about a rock. And what this was, it was a memorial rock. It was a standing stone, they called them. And they had these in various places, different places they would put these. But this was a rock that they put, and they stood up, and it was a reminder to them of the victory that God had given them. It was a reminder to them because, you know, in future times, their children would come and, "Well, what's that rock over there for? Why is that all there by itself in that way that it's located and situated?" Oh, that's Ebenezer. That's the stone of help. That's to remember the time when God gave us victory over our enemies. And it's significant. It's important. You need to hear that story. Tell the story of Samuel. And it was, you know, it was a great victory for Israel. Well, folks, you and I need to raise some Ebenezers. We need some stones of help in our life. Whenever God answers prayer and God does some significant things in our life, we need to record those. We need to write them down. We need to put a stone. You can do it 1,000 ways. You could quilt a quilt. You could do 1,000 things. You know, you could write a poem. You can do 1,000 things to commemorate what God has done in your life, the victory that He's brought to you. But we need to do it because there will be a generation who comes after you who do not know the Lord the way you do. And maybe through some of the things that you pass on to them, they will be able to get a hold of how great God is and what He can do. Well, we need the Lord. And so tonight we want to close just seeking Him. Just praying, calling out to Him, and asking God to bless and work. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and have a time of invitation. If you have a spiritual need, then that's great. And I hope you'll come to me or come to somebody. Christian, if you just need to, you know, find you a place and get with God, do it. But if there is something in your life or in your family that I can pray with you about, I would love to do that. And I can go from person to person, pew to pew, and I could, you know, we can do it that way. But honestly, I think I'd like it if you just come and say, "Brother Tim, would you pray about this area of my life, or this need, or this thing that's going on, or I'm concerned about this." And, you know, we all have some of those things. I don't think there's a person sitting in this room that doesn't have needs. If that's you tonight, I want to invite you and give you this opportunity. We'll just take a moment. We'll just pray. Okay? So, let's bow. Father, we just ask You to take this moment and help us, Lord, to focus on You. Help us to seek Your face. Lord, before we ever ask for a single thing from You, Lord, help us to worship You and praise You and just say, "Oh Lord, You're beautiful. Your face is all I seek." Oh God, do a work in our hearts and help us to seek You and to love You. And Father, we thank You and praise You tonight.